My mother once called me up after the end of the equity bubble and Credit Suisse. You know, I was at Credit Suisse for about 10 seconds. I was at Drexel Burnham. So I've been at the heart of sort of some of the problems. And she said, hey, how come you never go to jail? I said, thanks, Mom.
That's Ken Moelis, CEO and founder of Moelis & Company. He made a name for himself in the venture capital and private equity world with 25 years on Wall Street. I'm Jason Lopez here at the Deals 2008 Private Capital Symposium held at the historic Essex House in New York City. Moelis was a featured keynote speaker. His presence at the conference was noteworthy because of his reputation, which was molded at Drexel Burnham in the 80s. Plus, he's a great storyteller.
Well, that's a hell of a question. The history of leveraged finance and a new rule book all in one. I think the cycles are actually, there's a closer parallel. There was a tremendous amount of liquidity during the Drexel days in the 80s, but it was all centered in about a square meter of an X-shaped desk in Beverly Hills if you wanted to do leverage buyouts. But there was a hell of a lot of liquidity right in that seat where Mike Milken used to sit. And deal multiples did get driven to the same, the same excesses. I think if you look back to the late 80s, you're going to see deal multiples that might, I think, be in excess of what happened in the last 2 years, actually. If you think about it, we really never did get back to full zero coupon debt and some of the real excesses of even the late 80s. So I think one of the differences is that it was just much smaller. So when the crisis hit, it really hit for one firm. There was a crisis in 1990, and it was, again, one firm went through it. The rest of the street, I think, for those who were there, was fairly happy to see Drexel Burnham go down the drain. And there were not CDS and inter-party swaps. And by the way, the interesting part is that Drexel Burnham, who went down for some of the same reasons of what's happened recently with Bear Stearns, interestingly returned to its shareholders full book value. They got paid out almost full book value over time on the liquidation of the assets. And I think, again, I don't remember exactly, but I think it was because the leverage inherent on the in the financial institution itself was more like 4-1 or 3-1. I mean, I just don't believe it was quite the order of magnitude of 40 or, you know, I've heard all different kinds of ratios for Bear Stearns at its finale. And there were not the interlinks among the street. Everybody didn't have bilateral swaps and counterparty agreements, so they could just cut Drexel off, shut it down. By the way, barely interview any of the people, refugees from a place nobody wanted to hear about, and move on. So I would say that the cycles were not dissimilar, just the breadth of this one and how many different places and how deeply in the economy it is, I think, will be the difference as to what happens here. And again, just to get to your last question, if I had to rewrite one rule book on the deal world, and one that you see every time get away is, you know, and I'm seeing it now, we have our own private equity fund, is I do think that that the principals doing these transactions, if I was an investor in these businesses, you'd want to make sure the principals doing the transactions had substantial personal wealth at risk. I think in the early 80s, entrepreneurs showed up at Drexel Burnham and put up substantial personal risk under the transactions, and near the end of it were net money out of every deal they were doing, and the bondholders and the creditors were taking more than 100% of the capital risk. And I think as you move through this cycle, I think we got to that point too, that the actual principals, I think, did not have enough personal skin in the game on some of these transactions where the victory was in rate of return and actual return versus the glory of the deal itself.
The most important things to Moelis, he says, are the relationships he built over the past 25 years and continues to build today. Moelis says that when he started his career, Wall Street had more personality and held more relationships, which helped to build trust between clients and investment firms. Now, he points out, investment banks have become distant corporations that can't build on the same trust that he relied on 25 years ago. So he goes on to tell his war stories about creating the ideal investment company.
There's an unbelievable dynamic that went on in the street. I hate to say it. 7 or 8 years ago, I went out to hire talent to try to build UBS into that firm. And, you know, it was interesting. There was a lot of great talent. And what's amazing to me is we've just gone through a gigantic boom on the street in terms of revenues and fees. And you look around the street, and I think the talent base has exited to private equity, hedge fund. The real goal on Wall Street over the last 3-5 years has been do 3 prominent deals, put them on your resume, and get the hell out of Dodge. Try to get to a private equity or a hedge fund, and get out of what I call financial conglomerates. The fact is 10, 15 years ago, there were real firms, investment banks. They were named, you know, Salomon Brothers, First Boston, DLJ, Kidder Peabody, Warburg, Barings, Cazenove. I go on forever, Alex Brown. And within a very short period, these firms all made the same exact decision, and that was to conglomerate. Interesting, because 15 years prior, there was a conglomeration wave in manufacturing and industrials, and investment bankers led the deconglomeration wave. They told everybody, get to your core competency, and they spun off things that people didn't have a core competency yet, and yet they all flocked to join companies that were not their core competency. And so you ended up with financial conglomeration, 300,000 person firms that expected to be able to do branch banking and credit cards as well as they could do CEO relationships. And I think it's obvious when you look at that, it can't happen. As I say, you know, Tiffany's is a great retailer and Walmart's a great retailer, and we should all hope they never merge. One of the products will suffer. And I think on investment banking, we tried to do that. I think you're seeing the results of that in the last year of outcome. So the short answer is, yes, my goal is to try to take these people who over 15 years developed a tremendous understanding and expertise of their industry, of their client base, and we're actually taking 15 years of experience and then going to become a newcomer in private equity, a newcomer in hedge funds. So we were taking talent and just destroying it. I mean, investment banking is truly one of those fields where you can get better every year, because if you've seen 100 deals, you're not twice as good as the person who's seen 50 deals. I'd say you're exponentially better. You've been able to coordinate such a significant degree of reactions and things that might go on in a deal. And so that if you can get to 200 deals, you become invaluable. And we were taking people at exactly that moment and sort of squeezing them out of a financial conglomerate business, making them go into new fields. And one of the things I want to do is capture those people, tell them, stay in the business. We're going to create an economic model that will reward you and a place where we respect, I think, the art of giving lifetime advice versus, you know, annualized advice.
I had a chance to talk to Molas shortly after he walked off stage. We discussed the current state of the private equity market, and I asked him to describe what he considers to be a good opportunity.
The opportunity to do a clean, vanilla deal, financed well, financed with lower leverage and by quality divisions, will start to show up. I think people still need to do certain things to fulfill their strategic plan, and I think you'll see that happen still.
I work a lot in Silicon Valley. Sometimes revenue gets forgotten. In terms of what's really important when you look at deals. When you look at this kind of market now, from where you sit, is revenue more important than ever? When you look at just in terms of earnings and revenue?
I think it's all about free cash flow. I think it's all about, you know, I think if you're in the private equity world, it's all about free cash flow and what generates. And if you're talking about, is the economy going to slow down and, you know, revenue's going to slow, you know, the answer is, I think everybody who has a portfolio in this room, everybody I hear, is seeing a slowdown, at least in March and April. Anything consumer-related.
And then finally, kind of piggybacked onto that, you talked about being a specialist. It's more important than being a generalist. As a specialist, does that give you a little more room for risk when you look at deals?
Actually, you know, I'm not sure I said it's better than being a generalist. I think being a specialist early in your career, if you come onto the street today, you've got to specialize. Now, you can move to being a generalist after, you know, a certain amount of years, because actually, you're not really a generalist. After 20 years of being on Wall Street, you are a specialist. You are a specialist in finance. But, you know, your first 10 or 15 years coming out, I think it's, you know, it sounds like a lot of time, 10 or 15. But I think today, to make your mark, you've got to be better at something than, or you got to know something. So I said I would specialize. And then I think what happens is you, by nature, become defined as a generalist, even though you might be an extreme specialist. You're just a specialist in the world of finance.
And you can look at deals that other people might see as risky, right?
Yeah, you'll have a view. Look, there's nothing like experience. I mean, until you've seen 200, 300, 400 deals, and then you recognize a pattern, and you say, you know, I think I've been to this movie before. It always looks this good right before it doesn't. And, experience counts.
Ken Molas is the CEO of Molas & Company and was a keynote speaker at this year's Private Capital Symposium 2008, held by The Deal in New York City. I'm Jason Lopez.